Well, I think we'd all agree that there is a particular season that many parents quietly dread, but at the same time, it's a season that we all know is coming. And that season is when your child begins to transition into becoming an adult. And I think for many parents, I know myself included, this can be perhaps one of the most turbulent times of parenthood. It's often one of the most difficult times of actually parenting. And the reason it's difficult, I believe, is because everything that we once knew, it starts to change. You know, we have patterns that we've been used to within the home, ways that we've related with our children. There's been a level of influence, you know, we've sensed a certain control, you know, over our children. And that all which we used to feel and experience, it then kind of begins to shift. And although that's normal and that's right and that's the progression that we want to see, many times it doesn't shift smoothly. You know, it's a season of when a child is entering into adulthood that it can bring about a lot of uncertainty, it can bring about a lot of discomfort. And at times, I think when I'm honest, I think it sometimes it feels as though we're losing something that was deeply precious to us. And so as we come to the session right now, it's important to be clear what we are trying to achieve and what we're not trying to achieve. Okay, so we're not trying to achieve every aspect of parenting from beginning to end, what a parent should be teaching their child across the whole span of their life so that now they're ready for adulthood. I mean, that's just far too broad. You have the rest of your life to figure that out. But what we're going to do in this session specifically is that we really want to narrow the focus, and we just want it to focus on one specific topic, and that is that significant part of parenting where the child transitions into adulthood. So that's really the scope of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be looking at this transition into adulthood on both sides. On one hand, we're going to look at, well, how do we prepare our children for this transition? And then on the other side, we want to be thinking about, well, how do we prepare our own hearts for this change? And the reality is that both of these sides really matter. I think underneath all of this, there's a really important truth that we need to come to terms with in terms of being parents. And that is, it's simply this: the scope of parenting, it only lasts for a defined season. Now, this is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that, you know, we'll never stop being a parent in that sense. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the relationship with your child, you know, disappears. I'm not saying that either. You know, it's not that we stop caring, stop loving, stop investing our lives into the lives of our children. But what I am saying is that there is a point at which the nature of our role as parents, it begins to fundamentally change, while the relationship, in a sense, it still remains. You have a relationship, but the role as a parent, that's what changes. And that point is really the point of adulthood. At some stage, your children are no longer going to be children in that same sense that they once were. They're not going to be under your control in the way and once they once they in the same way that they used to be. And yes, they still carry the responsibility to honor their parents, yes, but they're now going to be responsible for their own decisions. They're going to be responsible for their own direction in their life. They're going to be responsible for their own lives, essentially, before God. Now, people have to, you know, they have different thoughts on when this time should actually take place. You know, people think, well, when should the transition to adulthood actually take place? I think practically speaking, the age of 18 years old, it's a helpful place to start. Why is it helpful? Well, it's not because the Bible gives an exact age. You know, thou shalt be 18 when you become an adult. But instead, 18 is just an age, at least culturally anyway, that we would see this is the age that a person is a legal adult. You know, 18, a person can vote. 18, a person can purchase alcohol. 18, a person can, you know, get married without their parents' consent. 18, they can get a tattoo. 18, you know, in other words, society as a whole at this point, regardless of whether you as a parent is ready for that or not, society as a whole is going to be treating them as someone who is now responsible for their own life. But I think this raises the important question. And the important question is, why does it even matter? And why does it matter that a parent would have a specific age in mind, a clear age in mind as to when adulthood begins? You know, why not just treat it as a stage? It's just a stage that eventually you'll come to, not really attaching an age to it. Well, the challenge with that kind of approach is it becomes highly, highly subjective. Because here's the thing, if adulthood is defined as a stage rather than an age, well then, who gets to decide when that stage has actually been reached? And more often than not, it ends up being the parent. Which means that a parent can very easily, sometimes without actually realizing it, almost extend out that stage. They begin to think to themselves, you know, I just don't think my child is quite ready enough. I don't think my child has proven themselves enough. I don't think they're responsible enough. And before you know it, what you have is a young man or a young woman, maybe well into their 20s, maybe even pushing 30, still being treated as though they're a 10-year-old, still living under their parents' authority and full control, and not really being allowed to step into the responsibility that adulthood requires. Now, just to be clear, we're not in any way saying that an 18-year-old is suddenly mature, right? Come on. You know, anyone, right? We're not saying that. It doesn't mean that that 18-year-old is now going to start making all these wise decisions. In fact, the reality is that growth, responsibility, maturity, you know, all these things take time. They are absolutely going to make mistakes. There will be immaturity that's displayed. It means there's going to be lessons, by the way, that they're going to have to learn the hard way. But that's not kind of the point. You know, the point is that having a clearly defined marker, both to the parent and to the child, it's helpful for both parties to realize something has changed. It helps them to define the relationship is now moving into a new season. And I think that clarity really matters, because without it, what happens is confusion. Without that marker, you know, confusion sets in, attention increases, and what you have is a transition that becomes a lot more difficult than what it really needs to be. And that's why this season requires a lot of intentional thought. When we're thinking about that transition to adulthood, we don't want to just kind of drift into it, but it's something that we want to prepare for. We want to think carefully, specifically about how do we prepare our children for that, but then equally, how do we prepare our hearts for the change? And so for the rest of this time now, I'm just going to be really dividing things up into those two sections, really. Number one, preparing our children for adulthood. And then number two is going to be preparing our hearts for the change. So firstly, preparing our children for adulthood. I think as we think about preparing our children for adulthood, one of the most helpful ways we can do that is really being intentional about the kind of discussions that we actually have with them, leading up to that point of transition, but the conversations that we have them during that transition and on the other side. I think this time it's got to be highly relational. You know, it's not something that we want to just remain unspoken. You know, it's not something that we just want to think to ourselves. We'll just kind of assume that they'll figure it out as they go. But rather, I think there's a number of key discussions that parents would actually do well to have with their children, both in the years leading up to adulthood, during adulthood, and on the other side of that when they begin to step into that. And so that's how I want to really spend this first section of the session. I really want to talk about some areas of discussion that we would do well to incorporate in our dialogue, ongoing dialogues with our children in this transition. The first conversation we would do well to have with our children is simply clearly communicating when adulthood begins. Okay, that's the first one. Just having a clear communication, this is when it's going to begin, and we do it ahead of time. Okay, it's not assumed, it's not vague, it's clearly defined. And so you and your child, you're moving forward with an awareness that there is coming a time, there is a moment where mum and dad will recognize me as an adult. And I think that clarity really is helpful because it gives you now something concrete for both of you to start thinking about, start preparing for, and it really removes all the uncertainty. It helps to avoid confusion later on. That's the first conversation to have when adulthood begins. A second conversation that would be helpful to have with our children is simply help them understand that when they reach adulthood, help them to understand that your role as a parent will change. So you want to help them to understand there is going to be a change. And look, this is going to be a difficult concept sometimes for our children to grasp because all they've really known is life under your authority. But they need to help to understand this, that, look, the relationship is not disappearing. I'm still here for you. The relationship is not disappearing, but it is changing. And so part of that explanation, as we're talking about the change in your role as a parent, you know, it's helpful to say, look, number one, this is not going to happen all at once, right? It's not like, you know, you blow out the birthday candles on your 18th birthday and now instantly you know everything you need to know for life. You're helping them to understand that. You're helping them to understand this is a season of transition. It's going to be the start of a process. It's going to be something that unfolds over time. And I think it's really important for them to hear this because it helps to kind of steady them. They understand, okay, there's certainty. It helps remove fear, going, good, I'm not just being abandoned by mum and dad. They're here to help. And it really gives them a realistic expectation of what they actually have ahead of them. So there is coming an age where I will count you as an adult. My role as a parent is going to fundamentally change. But thirdly, well, it's a time to have a conversation with them about reassuring your love and your support for them that's going to be ongoing. So reassure them on ongoing love and support. And you kind of think, well, isn't that kind of assumed? Well, I think it's vital that our children actually hear us say this, that you are not going to be on your own. Because there are going to be some young people that, you know, you have ones with different temperaments. I know my own children, it's the case. You have some that are just real, you know, it's taming the tiger. And then you've got others that it's kind of like waking the wombat. You know, there's different temperaments. People are going to be processing this in different ways. And so the idea of helping, you know, step a child into adulthood, the idea of adulthood can be really overwhelming for some. Some just can't wait. Some it's overwhelming. You know, they may feel like, now I'm expected as an adult to try to figure out everything on my own, by myself. You know, and as parents, we want to be clear that, no, I'm not abandoning you. I'm still here for you. I still love you. I still deeply care about you. I'm still available to give you counsel, to give you wisdom, to give you support. In many ways, you're communicating to them, I'm still very much going to be part of your life. However, a fourth discussion to have with them, which clearly follows behind this, is that make clear to your child that your parental authority, it will no longer function the same way. So you're making clear, yes, I'm still here to love you, support you, give you guidance, but making clear that your parental authority will no longer function in the way in which it once did. Your love and support remains, but your authority in their lives, it does not remain in the same way. Because this is often where the tension can arise. If you don't set this expectation to be clear, parents will continue to relate to their children as though they're still under their own authority. And do you want to know what happens in that kind of scenario? How do the kids respond? Not too good, right? They begin to push back. Or, alternatively, the child assumes complete independence while... Hey, Caitlin. Hey, Abigail. On the alternative side, the child assumes complete independence while the parent still expects complete control. And you can kind of see, and you see it so often, how much this just creates friction that's there. And so this is a conversation we need to have. We need to, it's an important to say gently and to clearly communicate, there is a change that is happening here. I, as a parent, I'm not going to be holding on to my parental authority and my parental rights as though you were still a younger child. And yet at the same time, I'm still here. I still care. I want to be a voice of wisdom, discernment in your life. And so can we kind of see what we're doing in some of these early kind of conversations? We're laying out a foundation. We're not just waiting for adulthood to happen, but we're actually helping them to kind of step in that, prepare them for that. You're bringing clarity as to what this involves, what the nature of your relationship between you as a parent and you and your child, what that's going to be. You're setting out some expectations and you're helping your child to step into adulthood, not with confusion, but you're helping them to realize where is the line. But in addition to this, I think another helpful conversation, helpful and humbling conversation to have, this would be a fifth conversation to have with your child, is invite some honest reflection on their upbringing and be ready to ask for forgiveness. That's a hard one. Anyone looking forward to that one? Inviting some honest reflection about their upbringing and be ready to ask for forgiveness. Such a big one. As parents, we need to be willing to sit down with our children as they're approaching adulthood or when they become adults and invite them to reflect on their upbringing. You know, we can ask them questions like, what are some things that I've said or I've done over the years that have hurt you? You know, what are some ways that I've mishandled situations? What areas have I maybe caused harm, even though I didn't really know that at the time? This part is so critical, but it's so humbling. Our kids are gracious for the most part, by the way. I was expecting a lot worse than what I heard from my own kids. But they're so gracious, but it's also humbling. And I think if we don't do this, if we act as though, hey, we've just got everything right, I mean, there are some big wounds that we have caused in our children's life. And look, none of us have went into it like that. None of us are thinking, hey, look, there's going to be some damage control that's going to be needed out the other end of our parenting experience here. We all go in with that, hoping the best, you know, assuming the best. And this is where it becomes tricky, especially for those of us with multiple children as well. You can parent, I'm going off my notes here a little bit, you can parent one child in one way and they can be completely receptive to the way that you've parented them. And then you can parent the other child in the exact same way as you parented that one, but you've created some deep wounds. You know, there's some resentment that's kind of formed. And so it's really important that we think about this as parents, because we have to remind ourselves, just because one is okay with how it went, we can't assume that that's going to be the same for others as well. And so it's just something for us to bear in mind here. This is going to take humility, but the reality is simple. Look, there is no perfect parent among us. You know, every single one of us, we've all said things that we shouldn't have said. You know, we've all handled situations poorly. We've all reacted at times in ways that's just not helpful, maybe even hurtful. And for the most part, we just don't even know about it. And here's the thing. There is maybe some things and some monumental times where you know that you've really messed up. That's probably a generous way of putting it. You've really messed up. And sometimes we think when the kids are younger, maybe they don't remember that. And we don't really need to go back to that because they wouldn't have remembered anyway. And so we carry on. But it's really surprising sometimes. It can be surprising how much a younger child can actually remember and how much they've held on to and how much through the lens of that experience they are actually viewing you as a person. So look, if these things are unaddressed, you know, a lot of times if they're unaddressed, they can sit quietly under the surface. I think they can become almost like a barrier, because what should be a vibrant, interactive relationship with our adult children, well, you know what? It's that can be diminished somewhat, and it can really affect our ability to speak into their lives if they're looking at us in areas that we've hurt them, wounded them, mishandled things, and so forth. And so, look, here's the thing. Children don't expect perfection. right? I mean, children are so forgiving. Talk to my kids. You know, they are so forgiving to look over. My kids know all of my faults. That's seriously, and more. They know the ones I don't even know about. They live with me all the time, you know. I talk about parents going, I'm the one always looking at you. You know, we're looking, they're looking right back at me. You know, they can see everything. Look, children do not expect to have perfect parents, but they do expect honesty. You know, they do expect humility. And when a parent is willing to say those hard words, I was wrong, you know, I'm sorry, you know, asking your actual child, would you forgive me for that which has taken place, it does something really powerful in that relationship. You know, that there's that you think that, you know, humility is going to somehow show you weaker of a person, but I think it actually strengthens your relationship as a parent. I think it does something really, really important in that time, and it really clears the ground. You know, you can't turn back the time. You can't just try to now, you know, fix what happened in the past with doing good things going forward. Do good things going forward, but we've got to own some stuff. We've got to own some stuff. And I tell you what, owning stuff will only help to really strengthen our influence in our children's lives going forward. I mean, think about it. No one who wants to take instruction and counsel from someone who is unwilling to admit when they've done wrong? No one, right? That's a person you probably keep at an arm's length. And yet some parents think somehow children are going to overstep that and just bypass that. They won't. We need to own that. And so asking them, you know, where have I hurt you? Ask for some honest reflection about their upbringing. Be willing to say sorry. A sixth conversation that we can have with our children in terms of this preparation is that we can ask them, where do you feel prepared or where do you feel unprepared for adulthood? And then listen carefully. So this is where you're asking them, because we can assume that they're ready in certain areas when in fact they feel like they're not. You know, we can be asking them questions like, are there any areas that you don't feel yet ready for when it comes to adulthood? Is there anything at the moment, as you think about moving forward, anything that's overwhelming? Are there any gaps, you know, in your understanding that you feel uncertain about? And then you sit there and you listen. You know, it's the opportunity to give guidance. It's an opportunity to give wisdom. It's an opportunity to speak into certain things and help to address certain things before they themselves are having to carry that full weight of responsibility themselves. And I think we want to think about this as parents, and this is going back a little bit further than adulthood now. We want to be preparing our children so that when adulthood comes, it's not like shock horror. You know, and so what this means is that we need to think about in our parenting, right across the whole span of our parenting, age-appropriate markers that we can be helping them to be growing in independence and maturity and responsibility as they move forward. I mean, that's as simple as thinking about, you know, how old are they when they're going to be playing unsupervised? How old can they be when they go to the shop without their parents? You know, how old, where is a marker that they can run errands like buying groceries? What age should they have a smartphone? What age would they have a social media account? What age is the age for them to start, you know, interacting with those from the opposite gender, maybe even entering into a dating type of relationship? We want to make sure that there's a progression of, I'm just giving examples here, but a progression in our parenting so that it's not like we're kind of doing everything or we've limited opportunity and then it gets to adulthood and all of a sudden, boom, they're left with it all. We want to think about age-appropriate things that we can be helping, little landmarks, little milestones that we can be helping our children with as they go through that. So that's the sixth conversation that we can have. Think about, ask them, where do you feel unprepared? And sit there and listen. Think about how you can help in that way. A seventh discussion that we can have is really defining how counsel and decision-making is going to work going forward. Right? So this is incredibly important. You know, there needs to be clarity between the parent and the child around how you as a parent will continue to speak into your child's life, and yet, at the same time, recognizing the freedom that they have to make their own decisions. You've got to have that conversation. you can't assume that kind of conversation. Because while we have to recognize that it can be helpful to say something like this to our children, that is, it's helpful to say, you know what, there's probably not a single person apart from God, there's probably not a single other person in the world who cares as much or as cares as deeply as I do about you. I've invested my whole life into you, into your life up until this point. And so you want to communicate this clearly. I want the best for you. And because of that, it would be wise. It's not an absolute requirement for you to listen to me, but at least there's wisdom for the person who has given so much, invested so much to at least hear the kind of counsel that I might bring to your life. But then it's very important to say, after I have, it's a privilege, by the way, at this point, it's not a right, but you're helping your child to understand, it's a privilege. Would you grant me the privilege to be able to speak in? I care for you, I love you, I've invested so much into you, I want your best, but at the end of the day, you're recognizing that you will have to one day stand before God for your own decisions. So do we see the balance there? You're asking, you know, can I speak in? But at the same time, you're saying, but I'm going to free you up to make decisions. And once I've given my input, I'm not going to force the hand. I'm going to give you freedom to make that decision before God. And having that defined ahead of time, it can really, I think, it prevents a lot of tension. It prevents a lot of tension when you figure out which is which. Because if you don't do that, what happens is if a parent's coming in to give that input sometimes, the child can actually take that as though you're trying to exert your parental authority over them. And they're saying, I thought we already talked about this. I'm not under it in the same way. And then you're trying to say, well, no, I'm not trying to exert my parental authority. I'm simply trying to give counsel. I'm trying to give wisdom here. And so just having that discussion around how is decision-making going to look? What does my involvement as a parent look when it comes to giving counsel? It can be a very helpful conversation to have with our children ahead of time. Number eight, an eighth conversation to sit down and have, and by the way, this is not all in one go either. This is just kind of like over time. Give yourself a break. Your child will need a break as well. This is some heavy stuff. Just time to think it through, discuss a little bit, and maybe take one a week. I don't know. Do what you want. So an eighth discussion that's quite helpful to have is to really establish expectations when you disagree. Establish expectations for when you disagree. Because the reality is that there are going to be decisions that your child, your adult child, is going to make that you just don't agree with. I mean, it's inevitable. And so it's far better to actually talk about that and discuss that before it actually happens. And that's really to try to establish some mutual expectations, or what we might call them, mutual ground rules. You know, it's a time to really help them to understand, Mum or Dad, we still need to have a view on life in general, but a view on what it is that you're doing. But I want you to understand that my disagreement with your decisions does not mean that I'm trying to take back control. It doesn't mean that I'm trying to exert my parental authority. It's just that I see things differently. And at the same time, helping them to respond in a way that's respectful, in a way that's thoughtful. Adulthood is not just about, hey, you know what? I can treat my parents any way that I like. That's not the idea as well. It's about helping them to understand, even when there is disagreement, there must be mutual respect, there must be mutual thoughtfulness, lest that disagreement really come in between us. A ninth conversation that we can have with our children is to define what freedom actually is. That's an important one. Help our children to actually understand what exactly is freedom. Because one of the biggest misconceptions that our children can sometimes have about adulthood is simply this. They think that being an adult now means that I get to do whatever I want. Come on, bring on 18, then I can do anything that I want. No one gets to tell me what to do. After all, I'm an adult. It means I don't have to be accountable to anyone. But that's simply not true. It's a misunderstanding on our child's part. I mean, think about it. We as adults, We don't have that kind of freedom. None of us have the kind of, I get to do whatever I want. I'm accountable to no one. I don't need to ask anyone for anything. No. We need to help our children to understand that adulthood is not just about doing whatever we want to do. But the nature of adulthood is that we now bear the responsibility for our own actions. In other words, when they mess up, they're not just saying, well, mom and dad, that was on their watch. Instead, they're bearing responsibility for their own actions. Adulthood doesn't give us the excuse or the license to be reckless, but it gives us the responsibility to make the right decisions for our lives. It's about dependence upon adults, or dependent upon parents, to now dependence upon God. We want them to help them to understand that, about the nature of freedom. The freedom is not just everything I want to do, but it's now a freedom from a dependence on what parents say to now what God says. Shifting from what does mum or dad think about the decision to now what does God think about the decision? Because that's ultimately the question that's going to bring about a faithful and a fruitful life. A tenth discussion that we can have with our children, we'd be good to do with our children, is to encourage them to exercise their freedom in a way that's governed by love. They don't understand this sometimes. Exercising their freedom in a way that's governed by love. Now, as they step into this freedom of adulthood, they have to understand how they express that freedom. It really matters. In particular, how it actually affects other people in the way in which they express that freedom or that liberty. And in particular, how that's actually going to affect you. Because I think one of the temptations, I might be wrong here, maybe it's just, you know, ones that have been around, but I think one of the temptations for young adults sometimes is to try to prove their independence and to exercise their freedoms in a way of really pushing boundaries. You know, now look at what I can do. Mum and Dad, you said I couldn't do this, and now I can do it. Look at me. A lot of times it can feel like they're exercising their freedom as a way of just kind of, you know, throwing it right in your parents' face. And I think it's really important to say that, look, this doesn't mean we're always going to agree with the decisions that they make, but they do need to learn that even in disagreement, they are required by Scripture to exercise their liberty in a way that is through the lens of love. They are to be thoughtful. They are to be considerate. They are not just to be able to take that freedom and try to intentionally cause harm to their parents by it. Yeah, look how immodest I can now dress. Look at this new tattoo that I just got. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with tattoos. Look at all those maybe some freedoms which you had limited as a child that now they think, now I'm an adult, I'm going to express it, and now the things that I know that my parents have strong convictions about, I'm going to go the opposite and I'm going to flaunt that right in their face to show how mature and how independent I really am. Again, we're not saying that we're going to agree on everything. We're not going to agree on everything our children do, but we're helping them to understand that even in disagreement, their freedom must be exercised in the nature of love. Number 11, another 11th conversation we can have with our children is clearly speaking clearly about friendships and influences. So this is just helping them to understand, look, those who you surround your life with, they're either going to draw you closer to Christ or they're going to pull you away from Christ. And so we need to talk with them honestly about that. We have to help them to understand that, look, you have got to be in the world, but you're not to be of the world. Yes, you will have friendships with unbelievers, but those relationships should never be the place where you try to find your primary belonging, right? We never try to find primarily our belonging with the unbeliever, those who reject Christ, those who don't have a biblical worldview. But instead, we're helping them to understand the nature of their relationship with unbelievers, saying these should be opportunities for an evangelistic witness. You're building a bridge through relationship, not to find belonging or acceptance in that crowd, but to build a bridge for the gospel. Not for influence, I should say, not for assimilation. A 12th conversation we can have is to call on them to trust God with their needs. There's going to be things that our kids come out the other side. They desire things, relationships, opportunities, security, direction, and it's all too easy for them to go, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to start doing these things, making these decisions, altering my life because I'm trying to meet my own needs for that which I desire. And so it's just helping them to understand, trusting God to provide for their needs. 13, direct them towards wise counsel. Have a discussion around that. Help them to understand that they need counsel for life that goes just beyond their own peers. They need the world that they're stepping into is going to be filled with friends, the opinions of friends, social media, popular opinion. And you have to help them to understand that just because there's public consensus among peers, that's not the same as godly wisdom. And so just helping them, encouraging them to actually think through that very thing there as well. And so as parents, what are we doing in all this? What are we doing in all this? Well, what we're doing is that we're having these conversations with our child ahead of time, not to try to control all of the outcomes, every single outcome. We're not trying to guarantee every decision that they're going to make is going to be right. But what we're doing is we're helping to prepare them to think through clearly with these intentional, honest kind of conversations. We're helping them to step into adulthood, not just blind, but with certain principles that can be guiding them as we do so. But I think a lot of times our focus can be on our children, right? You know, what do they need? How can I prepare them? What conversations should I have? But when we're honest, I think this is where we're going to start talking about the turbulent nature of this transition to adulthood. I think most of the time, much of the tension in this season, it doesn't just come from what our children are doing, but it actually comes really what's taking place within us as parents. And so that while this transition of adulthood is actually happening, it's not just about preparing our children, but this really comes to the second part. It's really helping to prepare our own hearts for that particular change. And so this is moving from preparing our children to now preparing our hearts for the change. I think it's important. This is where I want to kind of, you know, push on us now, right? We've already talked about some points of things to discuss with our children. I think this is us, and I think specifically if we're going through this at the moment ourselves, where maybe there's some difficulty, some struggles, some tensions in our own relationship, this is the perspective that we need to have, biblically speaking. It's important to recognize right from the outset that this transition into a child into adulthood, it is a turbulent time for every parent. You know, some parents are better at hiding it than others. You know, how do they get through unscarred? You obviously don't know them. Go and have a talk with them. You know, you've got to find out. You know, this transition into adulthood, it can really stir things in our hearts. It can bring uncertainty. I think it's really going to bring certain frustrations to the surface. And because of this, we don't need just to prepare our children from this. We do need to prepare our hearts. We need to learn what our hearts are actually thinking and identify what's really going on within ourselves. And ultimately, it's really learning to entrust our children's future into God's capable hands. That's essentially what we're doing. But how can we do this? How can we prepare our hearts for the change of our child coming in to adulthood? Five considerations very quickly now. Five considerations for us to think about how we can prepare our hearts for the change of adulthood. Number one, remember that adulthood is not the end of your child's story. It's just the beginning. You see, as parents, we can sometimes lose sight of that. Throughout their childhood, there is often there's this outward compliance. They do what they're told. They follow instruction. They appear to be kind of making the right choices, give or take. But what we can sometimes miss is that much of that compliance has been shaped by our parental authority rather than a deep, personal, Godward conviction or response from their own hearts. And so when our child then steps into adulthood, when that external structure of your parental authority is no longer there in the same way, It's at that time we begin to see what's actually really going on inside of our child. A lot of time we can see glimpses of it ahead of time, but we don't really know until there is that freedom. And I think sometimes it's exactly what we thought it would be, but other times it can be very, very confronting. It can be unsettling. But even in that, we have to remember this is not the end. This is the beginning of a way that God can and will work deeper in our child's life, which means that we need to allow space to really allow for God to teach them, to shape them, to bring them through even difficult seasons, difficult lessons, as he either brings them to Christ or he makes them more like Christ, depending if they're a believer or an unbeliever. And so this is the first thing we have to just bear in mind. We have to see the long game. We shouldn't ever think that somehow our children are going to get to adulthood and they're going to be completely perfected, sanctified. That is not the end of their walk. It's, in many respects, it's the very beginning of their walk as an independent adult. A second thing that we need to bear in mind in terms of preparing our hearts, parents need to view this season as part of God's work in their own hearts. Just think about that for a moment. Parents need to view the season as part of God's own work in their own hearts. You see, alongside of what God is doing in your child, we also need to ask the question, what is God wanting to do in me through all of this? Because the difficulties we experience in this season, that they're not just about our children. I'm not saying that our children are not, they're sometimes not helping with it. But it's not actually just all about our children. It's actually God's means of sanctifying us. We need to have this view of suffering, and it needs to include the difficulties that we face in our parenting. And in particular, we need to think about that God hasn't taken him by surprise when our children are taking a different path, when that time is turbulent. But even in that, God is still doing a work, if not visibly seen in our child, he is wanting to accomplish in a work in us. And so when we are feeling anxiety, when we're feeling frustration, when we're feeling stress, maybe offense at the way that our children are treating us, we have to understand that those things, those inner feelings, don't originate from outside of ourselves. In other words, we can't blame those who are on the outside. Those are symptoms of something. They're revealing something that's actually deeper in our hearts that we actually need to be willing to bring to God, to ask him, Lord, would you help me with this area right now? Well, thirdly, a third way to really be helping us to prepare our hearts, we would say, identify the heart idols that can really surface in the season. So this is kind of hinging off a little bit on the third point, Thirdly, identify the heart idols that can surface in the season. Most helpful thing that we can do is to ask the question when we're feeling anxiety, when we're feeling frustration, when we're feeling stress, when we're feeling any number of emotions, you know, fill in the adjective with whatever it is that you might be feeling right now. But we need to be asking ourselves the question, what is my heart wanting right now? When we're feeling the anxiety, when we feel the symptoms, we have to ask, what is our heart wanting right now? Because this season, it will bring all sorts of heart idols, that is our heart desires, to the surface. What is a heart idol? And a heart idol is simply an area in our life that we have elevated to a place where it should not be. There's a desire within us that might be good and okay ordinarily in and of itself, but now we've elevated in such a place where it's actually replaced God in our lives. What are some of the heart idols? Well, sometimes there's a desire for control. You know, I feel anxious and frustrated because I can't direct the decisions that my child is making right now. That is a heart motivation, a heart idol of control. A desire for respect. The way they spoke to me, it feels disrespectful. And I just can't let that go. Nothing wrong with respect in and of itself. But when it churns us up, we realize we've elevated respect to a place where it shouldn't be within our hearts. Sometimes it comes in the form of a desire for acknowledgement. After all I've done for you, and you don't appreciate anything that I do, anything wrong with acknowledgement? No, John knows. Anything wrong with acknowledgement? No, of course not. But when we've elevated it in such a way of saying, I cannot be happy unless I actually get this, we know that then it's become a heart idol. Sometimes it's a heart idol or a heart desire of comfort. You know what? What's really bugging me about you, my adult child, is that I want things to feel easier. I want things to feel less emotionally draining, and you are not helping with that. You are the source of the way that I'm feeling right now. Sometimes it can be a heart desire, heart motivation for comfort. Sometimes it's peace. Avoiding those hard conversations with our adult child because we just want to keep everything calm. Sometimes it's the heart motivation of security. I feel unsettled because the choices that you are making feel uncertain to me. Things don't seem to be going in the direction that I'd ever hoped that they would. And in and of themselves, again, these things are not wrong. Comfort? Okay. Acknowledgement? Okay. Respect? Okay. But the problem is when we elevate them to a place that they never should be. And we can know that when this is happening, because those things become threatened. If there's a heart motivation or a heart idol of control, and all of a sudden things feel out of control, it'll stir you up. It feels like you're losing power. When it's respect isn't being shown, it's the same deal. All of a sudden it's like, you know what? I cannot feel good in myself because of the respect I desire. I mean, you go through the whole list. As parents, if we don't learn to deal with the heart idols in our own lives, I tell you, your response to your adult child will become stronger, sharper, and more emotional than what it actually should be. And so we need to treat the way that we're feeling in a time of that transition from childhood to adulthood, we need to treat the way that we're feeling as somewhat of a warning signal. When something is stirring me inside, I need to ask the question, what am I wanting? What in my heart have I elevated above God at this time? Am I no longer viewing God as the one who is ultimately in control? Am I no longer viewing God as the one from which my acknowledgement and recognition should really come from? Am I no longer viewing God as the primary source of my peace, my comfort, my security? Am I no longer viewing God as the one in whom my identity is actually found, not my identity found in how my children are behaving as adults? And so in those moments, we pause, we ask ourselves the question, what am I wanting right now? What have I begun to hold on to that is now being challenged? And what do I need to change in my thinking so that God becomes the source of my desire, the source of my control, the source of my acknowledgement, the source of all those things, rather than just looking for all those things in the responses or the non-responses of our adult children. Number four, we can help prepare our hearts by choosing Christ-like responses when attitudes are difficult. That's a generous way of putting it. I bet you can think of a few other adjectives that you could add in the word difficult. Now, one of the real challenges in this season is dealing with the attitudes of adult children. You know, there's going to be ways and times, and you know this if you have them, they're going to speak disrespectfully to you sometimes. They may act without consideration. Their tone, their posture, their decisions, really, really difficult to deal with. And I think in those moments, there is a strong temptation. And just tell me if it's just me. If it is, that's fine. But there can be a temptation sometimes to respond to our adult children in the exact same way that they're responding to us. In other words, they say a certain thing in a certain tone and we match their tone back to them. We repay those insults like they've thrown our way. We repay them by chucking them back their way with equal force. They show us disrespect, we'll show you disrespect. And a lot of times in our minds, we can kind of justify it. But as parents, we need to be careful when this happens because we don't want to be returning or responding in terms of the ugliness of their behavior with just more ugliness. It's a phrase that my wife and I use often, the word ugly. because that's just kind of what it is. You know, sometimes there can be an ugliness that is, comes their way, and the temptation is to take that ugliness and throw it straight back at them. And I'm just saying, we can't do that. We shouldn't do that. We don't want the bad responses of our adult children to now turn us into monsters, into maniacs, into those who never thought we would be speaking in such a... We don't want to do that. This is a time to respond with Christ-like love, with Christ-like patience, with Christ-like forbearance. And I'm saying it's not easy. But I tell you what, if your child is acting in an ugly way towards you, and all they're seeing back at you is Christ, it's going to be very difficult to maintain that in the way in which they would like. Eventually, maybe even their friends and their peers and other people around them are going to be looking at the child and going, what on earth's the matter with you? Look at, your parent is there trying to love you and respect you, and they're bearing with you as you're throwing ugliness this way. It helps to show the child for what they actually are, if that's the season that they're going through. And I'm saying the temptation is to become like them because that's the way they're treating us. I'm saying resist the temptation. Show them Christ. Be Christ. Allow Christ to be shown in you so that not only will the ugliness be more accentuated in them, but that hopefully they would see the error of their way because of the Christ that they're seeing in us. Number five, finally, I'd say number five is we prepare ourselves, our hearts. Number five is fight to maintain strong relational ties. Fight for it. Fight for it. You got to fight for those strong relational ties. A lot of times they just don't happen by themselves. The season, there's so much strain. There can be so much tension. And it can be tempting when attitudes are hard to pull back, to distance yourself, saying, why would I want to be around someone who speaks to me so disrespectfully? Why would I be around with someone who doesn't recognize any love or input I've given in their life? Why would I want that? And in some cases, during that season, and I've seen it so many times, parents can actually sever that relational bridge with their adult child altogether. And that comes at a great cost. Because when the relationship is broken, well, so too is the opportunity for ongoing influence. That influence will actually be weakened. So parents, I guess what I'm saying here is that we need to think the long game. We need to think the long game, not just happening what's happening right now, but we have to think to ourselves, what could God do in the long term? That if by his grace, even in the areas in our adult children's lives right now where it's looking a little bit ugly, it's looking pretty messy right now, it looks like they're going down the wrong direction, but what if by God's grace he could bring about conviction in their lives, bring clarity, change their hearts? Well, you know what you want to have on the other side of that? You want to have some kind of relationship that's hopefully in some way still intact, even if it's hanging on by a thread, just something that's there that you can build upon, that you can restore, that you can strengthen. And so we need to think about the long game as parents here. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. A lot of times it's going to be hard, and there's a lot of things we can't agree with through this transition, but we must fight by God's grace to at least maintain some kind of relationship with our children. It might look different than if they'd made different choices, but just something, so that if God willing, he shows them the error of their ways, that we at least have something to build going forward, rather than them looking back on our relationship and going, that has been severed for good. Well, as we come to the end of the session, I just think it's really important that we remember when it comes to our children's transition into adulthood, this is what you have to remember. You are not the savior of your children. I'm not the savior of my children. We never were, never meant to be. Can't control their hearts, can't secure their futures, can't create Christ-likeness in them. But do you know who can? God can. And what's more, God does. I want us to think about this for a second. God actually cares for your children far more deeply. Doesn't know a word. You're talking too much. God cares for your children, my children, far more deeply than what we ever could. Think about that. It's not quite factually right when we say there's no one else in the world that cares for you as much as mum and dad do. Humanly speaking, yes, maybe. But God has even a greater care for them. It means in this season, if things feel uncertain, if control feels like it's being loosened, if the future feels unclear, this is a time for you to strengthen your relationship with Christ afresh. This is a time where you entrust their future into his hands, and where you rest your confidence, really, that he is wise, that God is good, that God is at work, not just in their lives, but also in your own life. If you feel the weight of this transition, if you feel like you've failed, you can bring that to him. If you feel that there's something in your heart that's been exposed, you can bring that to him. If you feel that the weight of the season that you're in, you can bring that to him, because the gospel, the same gospel that gives hope to your children, is the same hope, the gospel that gives hope to us. It's the hope that Christ has been patient with you, Christ has been gracious with you, Christ has been faithful to you, and Christ will continue to be those things. And so we can move forward in this season, not holding tightly onto fear, but we can move forward resting and trusting and confidence in him, that he who's begun a good work will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And also for us in the meantime, that we don't grow weary while doing good, because we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a good and faithful God. Lord, we confess how often we try to hold on to things too tightly, trust too little, but help us to place our children into your hands, to rest in your wisdom, in your timing, in your care. Lord, where our hearts are exposed, change us. Where we feel weak, Lord, strengthen us. Help us to respond in a way that reflects Christ. We trust you to continue the work that you have begun, not only in our children, but also in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.